Amen. Well, our theme through these weeks is breakthrough, and it's God's will for every believer here to have key breakthroughs in their life so that the presence of God can be real, we can live in that great joy, and that we're able to obey His promptings and have that relationship with Him. But there is one who is very set against us having the thrill of walking with God and experiencing that victory. The evil one has been battling God from the very beginning of creation and is continuing to do so today, even though he is a defeated foe. In the non-saved realm, he is still the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air. And so the world is the system by which Satan endeavors to keep the lost lost and to keep the saved from being where they ought to be and enjoying the power of God in their lives. And so therefore, then the lost will stay lost because the church is not reaching the world with the gospel. I remember as a junior in high school, God really began to work in our youth group. In fact, we really had about a year and a half of revival. It was really a wonderful thing. And many, many young people out of that group went on to serve the Lord around the world. And I still look back to those days and rejoice in that. There was one young man I had an opportunity to have a lot of influence with as he came to know the Lord, or I can't remember if he came to know the Lord during his time there or really got right with God. But regardless, I think he came to know the Lord. And we began to be fairly close. We'd go out soul winning together. We'd stay up and pray and ask God to work. And he took some stands. We all went, of course, to the public school in those days. And I was just really thrilled with what the Lord was doing in his life. But then I began to see a coldness come in. I began to see a change in his demeanor. He began to not be as faithful to the church as he had been before, and his desire to do things for the Lord began to wane. And he began to realize that with some of the needs he had from his home background and so forth, he had allowed Satan to overcome his thinking, and the strongholds, some of them that had been broken, had now come back up. And I'll never forget when he just departed and went off into the world. And it was a real grief. Some years back, I don't know, maybe about 8 years ago, I was coming in, flying back into Mitchell Field, and there waiting at the jetway to get to go on the plane that I was coming off of, there he was. I couldn't believe it. We hadn't seen each other for years. And I could see the deadness in his eyes. And he basically said, "Well, you're still doing the same thing, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes." And we tried to talk. It was a quick exchange because of the timing. But I'm telling you, the world's an enemy. And it's not something to take lightly. How many of you have seen someone saved and started to disciple them and then really been in a battle to see those people through because of the world? Parents here, has the world at all bothered your kids? Oh, it's a big enemy, isn't it? What about you? It's a big enemy. So we're very foolish not to know our enemy. Anytime you have victory in any type of battle, you've got to know who you're up against, know who's leading the force, and know what the force is and what the strategy is. And so that's what we're endeavoring to do in these evening services over the fall and potentially into the winter season, to just really make ourselves, by the grace of God, be aware of Satan and his devices. Now, we've been looking at the world just more from a just what it is. We looked at the world and how Satan, it uses the world to meet people's needs if they're cut off from God, because we're made for God. We don't have natural instinct. God made us to be directed and led and actually to be indwelt by him and to have a oneness with him. And when mankind does not have that, then Satan becomes the substitute God, and he uses the world system to direct, guide, and meet people's needs. And when Christians are cut off from God in a fellowship because of sin, then Satan again becomes that leader in their lives. That's why when teens, for instance, for whatever reason, maybe have broken relationships with their parents, but they're not walking with God. They have a rebellious spirit. They are immediately drawn by the culture. And with their inexperience, the culture seems very powerful and very appealing, and they don't see the great subtle dangers of Satan. And so we looked at that, and then we looked at the fact of what the Bible said about the world and the dangers of it, and how that there can be no compromise with it, or we will be in great danger. Well, that was what we dealt with in our last session. We need to agree with God about the world. And now we need to act upon the truth of the cross for victory. Now this gets us into what we've been talking about on Sunday morning. So I'm just going to take a few moments tonight, but we have a great, great promise and perspective in Galatians chapter 6. If you'll turn there with me, Galatians chapter 6, just one verse we will look at, but this verse is a great banner verse. This is one that it is good to memorize and one that we can claim. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Now, folks, we've been talking about the fact that we died with Christ, that when he was crucified, we were in him, and therefore death has died to us. We, in other words, we have participated in his death, therefore we now have new life in Christ. Well, that means then that if we're dead to sin, and sin is how the world operates in our lives, we should therefore be dead to the world, shouldn't we? So when Christians are not reckoning the truth, and we'll talk more about that next week, the week after, we have the missions conference, when we look at this, we'll see that when we're not counting on these things to be so and letting God give us his victory, then we're open prey for Satan to use the world in our lives. So just a couple of practical things here this evening. We need to reject all self-dependence. This is the opposite of dependence upon the finished work of Christ and allowing the Holy Spirit to work. We must not rest in our own fleshly thinking or strength. Looking back at our text here tonight in Galatians, but God forbid that I should what? Glory. Now, folks, the deep problem that we have is self-reliance. Some of us were just speaking in a prayer meeting here just before the service, some deacons and myself, about the stronghold of just depending upon self. It's a big deal. God forbid that I should glory. Ritterboss, a great commentator, said, their glorying, Paul says, in effect, is worldly, godless, vain, and no matter how religious it seems. And so it has the whole idea of man looking to himself. And so, folks, it's very dangerous for us not to be spirit-dependent when we are self-sufficient and not truly walking with a broken heart, knowing we need God. We're wide open for the world to get us. But God forbid, it's unthinkable that I should glory, that I should have any self-confidence, that I should have any pride, that I should have any kind of sense that I have something, except in the cross. Folks, I'm telling you, everything we have and are is because of Jesus. And you've got to get that down. That's not natural. I'm telling you, your flesh wants to take credit for what you do. Your flesh wants you to focus on yourself. It is very normal for us to want to be noticed or to have glory in our lives. God forbid that we should glory, save in the cross. And so this is one of the key things that we've got to understand. What is the world doing all the time? It's all about glory. Glory on the battlefield, glory on the sports field, glory in business achievement, glory in musical achievement, glory in whatever other discipline you want to talk about in life. And we may admire, and it's right for us to appreciate these different areas, but you can just see the ego of man, and you see the world all over it, and that the whole system. And for us as believers, the only thing we should be thankful for is the cross of our Lord Jesus. Folks, what our heart passion ought to be is to make God look good. I mean, yes, we need to succeed. Yes, we need to do well. Yes, we need to have abundant fruit. We ought to have things that will cause people to be excited because of our life, but it ought to be so obvious that it's coming out of a humility and a definite dependence that people cannot help but look to the Lord as though and knowing that He has done it. I'm telling you, it's really refreshing when something great happens and you know it's God and everybody else knows that you know it's God and they know it's God. That's really great. There's real freedom in that. And I mean, there's just such rejoicing. And you know, you can rejoice. We can rejoice in big things happening when we are truly knowing it's God. And it was because of the victory that He won on the cross. And we've got to be very careful, folks. The transformation that has taken place in our Christian life up to this point has all been God. But our good habits and our better thinking and our faithfulness, we can begin to feel good about and have a confidence in. It's very subtle and it's very common. 1 Corinthians 10:12, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." And folks, we've got to understand the minute we take credit for anything in our life or we depend on anything God has done, but we depend on it ourselves, we are putting ourselves in a dangerous place. The world can get us. Satan can get us. You know, one of the keys to breakthrough is genuine, consistent brokenness. Brokenness doesn't mean that you're constantly weeping and you're, "Oh, woe is me." That's not it at all. Brokenness is a person that stands in awe that they're saved. A person that is absolutely amazed at the grace of God. Do you catch that with John Newton's different hymns? He just can't get over the grace of God. And that's what we should be talking about. I am what I am by the grace of God. This is a miracle. I can't believe God's doing this. I don't deserve it at all. It's amazing. And there can be a genuine spirit, empowered transparency that is so refreshing. But it also keeps us in the right relationship with the Lord that keeps us from allowing Satan to have the victory. Now, folks, the cross defeated sin, defeated the devil, and therefore defeated the world. Believers have the victory. And it's a glorious thing. Sin doesn't have to have dominion over us. Therefore, the world cannot get a hold of us. We have that great victory. We are alive unto God. All of these things we've been talking about in Romans chapter 6. Therefore, can I make the quick conclusion here, the obvious conclusion? Isn't it tragic when a person that has the victory over the world flirts with the world? Isn't it contradictory to the very essence of who we are and what God has done? Doesn't it fly in the very face of what our salvation means? Folks, this is what is so disturbing in America today, is that believers individually, but even believers corporately in churches, are actually letting the very world from which we have been saved, the very world that Jesus delivered us from by giving us eternal life and giving us victory over sin so it doesn't have dominion, to allow that very world to be integrated into how we worship and how we live and to be participating in it. Folks, our country is not being stopped much by evangelical Christianity in its downward slide. Now, it is some, praise the Lord. There is some salt and light. I'm glad we're not England. I'm glad we're not Europe. So I do want to say God is good. The very presence of millions of Christians does make a difference. But can you imagine if we were living in the victory of the cross? Imagine if just 50% of the Christians across America began to live in revival. You would be amazed how this country would change. It is such a contradiction. It ought to grieve our hearts. It does grieve the heart of the Lord Jesus. And so we need to understand that the victory that we have is the victory over the world. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God, note this, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So if we're born of God, what is the victory? The world's overcome. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us great, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. This world is controlled and designed by Satan to ruin our lives. But the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Let me just tell you this, folks. The more you're having victory over sin, the more you are experiencing the presence of the Lord and walking with Him, the farther away the world gets. It loses its glamour because the glory of Jesus is far greater than the glamour of the world. I remember we came into Egypt some years back and went up to over Cairo. We had not yet come in during the daytime, but they wanted to give us the awe-inspiring sight of looking down on the Nile Valley and seeing Cairo by night. It was just gorgeous. It was beautiful. And then we went to our hotel. You couldn't see anything. In the morning, we got up. Of course, we were in a nice hotel, but then we went on our tour through one of the most tragic major cities in the world. I mean, you have open sewers, the whole thing. And I thought, you know, that's just like the world. When we look at it through defeated eyes and we're allowing our flesh to control us, it seems to be so glamorous, Satan is so alluring. But you turn the light of the presence of God on. You let the daytime show up. You let God reveal Himself to you and His Word become precious, and all of a sudden you do not see the glittering lights of the world. You begin to see the sewer of the world. And my friends, as a pastor, I'm telling you, the world is treacherous, it's wicked, it's corrupt, it's horrible. We have to get down into the trenches with people and pull them out of the saddest corruption that you can think of. It's not pretty. It's not fun. The tears, the heartache, the pain, the ongoing day after day of issues that people face, the heartache that's represented in this room because of other people that are living in the world, it's a terrible thing. And we got to wake up. My salvation means I'm delivered from the world. That's really great. What in the world would I be doing flirting with the world? And that's what's been happening. The world is crucified unto me, I unto the world. He can be dead to you. Oh, listen, you walk with Jesus, you turn your back on the world. You can't help it. The closer you get to Him, the farther away from the world that you get. I made the statement in a session I had recently that in any time you find the church in the midst of revival, there is no allowance given to the world. In other words, people in revival have no use for the world. They do not give the world the benefit of the doubt, ever. Because when you're seeing Jesus, you don't want anything to do with His enemy. You don't want to have anything to do with the ones that crucified Him. And so the Lord wants us to be in the world to reach the world, but not of the world. And what is so important, folks, in all of this is that Adam surrendered his authority to Satan when the fall occurred. Jesus became the second Adam, and in the spiritual realm, gained the authority back. He won the victory. When we are in Christ or living in the reality of that in a practical way, guess what happens? The authority comes back. You see, believers ought to be exercising the dominion over the world like it was originally to be. It will not happen until the millennium comes that the actual human world will be under the dominion humanly of it'll be just of the Messiah at that time, but spiritually we ought to be exercising that authority. But we lose our authority, we lose our power, we lose all that God wants us to win for Him in this world. Did you know that you take some dedicated believers who are on fire with God, who are at war with the world, they come into a culture, they come into a people group, they continue to pray, like a James Frazier, just by himself he did it, and stay with it. They are on victory ground, they have the authority, and eventually that authority is going to be exercised spiritually. That's where the great breakthroughs have occurred all around the world, and that's what God wants us to do. And so it's a wonderful thing, folks. Let's don't glory in ourselves, but let's understand that we can glory in the cross, because the cross has, we're crucified to the world, and the world is crucified unto us. May God give us a real heart to just glorify God and not to have anything to do with this world that will keep us from really walking with Him. Let's bow for prayer. As we bow before the Lord here this evening, as we're giving the more general principles about the world, I think it's very important that we get this set before we deal with specifics. In other words, we agree with God that the world is organized by Satan, culture is organized by Satan to trap us, to bring us down, to bring strongholds of thinking into our hearts and lives, to keep us from having a breakthrough of the presence of God in our life. And we really see it. We really believe it. And as we take our stand in walking with God, and as we have victory over sin and are unwilling to compromise with our lust, therefore the flesh, and God gives us victory, then the world can be reached rather than the world hold us back. And you'd say, Pastor, I realize that it's very easy for me at times not to have spiritual victory. And you're exactly right. When I don't, the world seems appealing. When I'm not really walking with God like I should and exercising that great, wonderful work that God did for me on the cross, and I'm allowing some things to be in my life, wrong thinking comes in, and the world has influence. And I allow it to come in through technology. I allow it to come in through wrong choices. Maybe it's because of self-dependence. Maybe it's wrong priorities, but the Lord has pointed out some things here tonight. You'd say, Pastor, I really want to be on God's side. I want to give Him the glory. I want my life to lift Him up, and I certainly don't want to have Satan's world have anything to do with my life. And I realize I can have victory because of the victory that Christ had. And somehow I don't know which way God may have dealt with you tonight, but you say He did deal with me tonight, and I do realize I've got to think right and I've got to live right so that Satan does not overcome, and the Lord has really dealt with me about that tonight. With heads bowed, would you just slip your hand up, just acknowledgement, the fact the Lord has worked in your heart that way here tonight. God bless you. A number of hands. It's very subtle how Satan does work. So you'd say, really, do pray for me. Thank you. You for those that that raised the hand. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, if I were to die, I don't know what would happen. If I were to die, I hope I'd be in heaven, but I'm not sure. Friend, you can know for sure. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, my heart's troubled. I'm not ready to meet my Maker. And what you've talked about tonight, I know the world is strong, and And there are pressures there, and I need to know for sure that I know God. Would you pray for me? Is there anyone like that? Just slip your hand up. We'd love to pray for you also. Thankful for those saved this morning. You can be saved here tonight. Anyone like that at all? Lord, would you work now in hearts and help us to see this? Help us to understand it. Lord, what a tragedy it is that God's people would have anything to do with that for which you suffered to give us victory over. Now, Lord, help us to see it. Help us to understand. Would you work in our hearts and lives? Be with these that raise the hand. Thank you for their open hearts. And, Lord, give them very definite victory, I do pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.